Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. My beautiful guest for today is Anodeya Judith, and she is a globally recognized teacher and the author of 9 books on chakras, yoga, psychology, social change, manifestation, and feminism, including the classics Wheels of Life and Eastern Body, Western Mind. Her books have been translated into 28 languages, and her transformational workshops have been taught all over the world. Her most recent work, She Rises, centers on the ascension of feminine leadership and includes 38 illustrated cards of female archetypes. She holds a master's degree in clinical psychology and a doctorate in mind-body health, with additional trainings in a variety of yoga and healing disciplines. As a member of the Evolutionary Leadership Council, she's passionate about evolution and the role women can play in creating a new world of justice and sustainability. Welcome, Anodeya.
Oh, thank you, Emmy. Delighted to be here with you.
Oh, it's a blessing to have you with us. And I am so very excited to be diving into our themes for today. Now, before we go any deeper on the topics that we really, really want to focus on, I wanted to ask you, Anodeya, to share with us, what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
Oh, my goodness. Well, sacred feminine power is the power of creation. And it is the power that women have. What women tend to do with their power is, you know, as it's been said, instead of fight or flight, they go to tend and befriend. What women do with their power, when they have money, they use it to help others. They foster compassion. They foster collaboration and cooperation. And they make sure everyone is well. And to me, feminine power is about the evolution of the species coming into balance with the masculine.
Beautiful. And I have a feeling as we go forward with this interview, we're going to be diving into some of those themes that you just brought up there already. And Anodeya, I would love to hear from you about a challenge that you have faced on your path that's really helped you to activate sacred feminine power within you.
Well, you know, I was the youngest of 3 children with 2 older brothers, 8 and 10 years older than me. And everything was sort of centered around them and the masculine. And I was sort of like a nothing. And, you know, if there was business being talked about in the living room, I was sent out of the living room to be with my mother in the kitchen. And so as I grew up, I really felt like as a woman, I had something to offer that was not being recognized. And in 1985, I was ordained as a priestess in an organization called the Church of All Worlds that I later ran for 10 years. And that gave me permission to hold power in a way that was distinctly feminine. I didn't have to act like a man in order to hold power. I could hold it in a way that was coherent with my intrinsic being as a woman, and that really swore me to service to the goddess and to bringing back the divine feminine as really a fundamental contribution in my life.
Beautiful. So you truly are a pioneer in this field. And I would be curious to know a little bit more about what it was like to be a priestess in those times in 1985. And what have you seen change over the past 40 years or so?
Well, you know, the precursor to that was I sold everything I had. I moved out to the country, lived off the grid on top of a mountain, 2 months by myself. Then I joined a Back to the Land community. And that was the Church of All Worlds, where there was, you know, goddess worship and nature worship, but gods and goddesses together. I mean, it wasn't a woman dominated thing, but it was where the sacred feminine was revered and honored. And I learned all about mythology and women's history and back to the time that when we did have goddesses and how they got plowed underground at the rise of patriarchy. And I realized we had lost something. And at that time, to become a priestess was serving the community and being approved by the community, being upheld by the community as having really served the community. That's how you did it. It wasn't so much what you studied or what degrees you had. It was, have you served? Have you helped people? And does the community say, yes, this person has been of service? So that's what it was. But living off the grid with this back to the land community, our rituals were grounded in nature. You know, everything was outdoors. We had our permanent altars to the four directions that we built of stone and wood. And we had our permanent circles that we did rituals in over and over again. And the energy was so vital and so alive. And it was really one of the best periods of my life.
Wow, I've got goosebumps all over just listening to you. That's amazing. Do you see this kind of doing a return at the moment as we are going through this massive transition on our planet and collectively? Do you see these kinds of values kind of returning at this point in time?
I very much do. And a book I came across recently called The Athena Doctrine, which was written by two men. Mm-hmm. They did 64,000 interviews across 13 countries. And their conclusion, these two men, the whole conclusion of all the interviews that they were asking about values and governments and business and things like that and what people thought would help the world be better. Their conclusion was that 66% of the world wants men to think more like women. But really, the values of compassion and cooperation and collaboration and healing and mending and preservation, you know, and ecology. These were the values that people wanted, and they associated them largely with feminine values. So I very much think this is coming back at this time because it's crucially necessary. And it's not at all that men are wrong or men are bad. They have contributed greatly to our evolution. And it's more that the feminine has been missing in the public conversation. The feminine values have been missing in their consideration, and that we need to have a balance to go to what I call an era of the heart, which is, I think, the next evolutionary organizing principle that we are moving toward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that resonates so very strongly. And as you're speaking there, for those of you who are watching this from the video recording, behind you is this beautiful poster of She Rises. And that is just the perfect, perfect way of really starting to describe this rise of the divine feminine and this collective awakening, especially amongst women, around the need to really come together again, instead of competing, instead of judging and comparing and contrasting, really recognizing the value of the power of the collective, especially of when women come together. So would you please share a little bit more about She Rises and what is it all about?
Yes. Well, I studied archetypal psychology, both feminine and masculine, for many, many years. And in my training to become a priestess, I also did a lot of research into prehistory before the written word, and, you know, the archaeological discoveries that have been more recent in the last, you know, 100 years or so, of finding all these goddess figurines all over the world. And, you know, at the time, it was a revelation to me once we worshiped a goddess. When I grew up and, you know, went to church with my family, there was never a mention at all of the divine feminine. It was just assumed God was a he, and, you know, he ruled over man, and, you know, women were referred to as man. And that was just the way it was. So it was quite the revelation. And as I worked with that, and also came to my leadership as a priestess, realizing that women lead differently than men. And we have different styles of leadership, but it is still leadership. Therefore, we need different archetypes to guide us in that leadership. And so I set about naming what those archetypes were, and then having them illustrated, and then writing them in a set of, you know, 38 cards. And the cards are large. And instead of writing a book to go with the cards, I did write a book, but instead of putting it in a book, I was sharing these in circles where women would come and some men as well and take a card back to their seat. And then they could open up the card and they could read about it in their seat instead of everyone waiting for their turn to read the book, like for tarot cards. And I've written it as for each archetype in the voice of I, which is the archetype speaking directly about who she is, and she, which is sort of the historical information, or some of the archetypes are emerging, they're modern, and it's more their standing in the world, like the androgyne or the activist, right? These are more modern archetypes. And then you, which is when you work with this archetype, when you work with this card, it is asking you to open your heart, you know, be more creative, get grounded, you know, whatever the archetype is asking. And so what I found is I shared these and people read them in the seat, I'd have them stand up and read the I part out loud. And in doing that, something happened inside the women. They would cry, they would shake, they would feel like something was coming through. And, you know, I'd give them also permission to put their own words in it, not just reading the poem. But, you know, then people wanted to bring their husbands and the men were reading these cards and the men were getting a transmission and having, you know, tears come. And, you know, one person said, well, I picked this card because I'm totally out of touch with my feelings. And before he had finished reading it, he was just crying and crying. And so I realized there's something powerful in enacting these cards. It's not just having cards and doing some kind of tarot spread, but it's memorizing them. It's putting it on your mirror in the bathroom and really beginning to embody these, what I would call feminine superpowers that have been unrecognized. Mm. Yeah. So some of the ancient ones are the priestess or the oracle or the midwife. Of course, we have midwives today, but it was all midwives long ago before, you know, doctors took over. And some of them are, you know, the maiden or the mother. These are common archetypes that we take for granted. And like I say, some are just emerging, like the diva and the activist and the trailblazer and the androgyne and the dancer. Well, the dancer is ancient. So I outlined 38 archetypes that reflect various stages in a woman's life. And they're framed by the three fates of Greek mythology, the spinner, the weaver, and the cutter. So the spinner represents the beginning of a woman's life, sort of the maiden phase. Then the weaver is where her life gets more complex. She may be married, she may have children, she may run a business. And then all the way up to the cutter, who is the queen of death. She completes things, she cuts things. She is the one that says we have to downsize the company, you know, that we don't have time for this much on the agenda. You know, she's the cutter and she represents that holy portal to the other world.
Wow, that sounds really, really powerful. I cannot wait to get my hands on that deck as well and start using it. That's really amazing. And Adia, you mentioned that there was a video clip that you wanted to share with us about.
Yes. Yeah, so for my 70th birthday, dare I admit it, I decided that I wanted to, these enactments that I was doing in circles and in my workshops were so powerful, I wanted to take them to the stage. And so I invited, we enacted 18 archetypes and one man, actually, and 17 feminine archetypes, and in a two-act play. And we put it on stage with live music and costumes and whatnot. And so I have clips of each of those. And I could play the priestess clip because that was really a very powerful one. And she is an important archetype and she's telling her story. So I will share my screen and go here to this. And you can see it, right?
Yes.
I am the priestess. I am the living conduit of the goddess. My duty is to serve her above all else. Through me, she remains alive in the hearts and minds of her people. I am the guardian to her mysteries. I am the mistress of magic. I am the keeper of her temple, and I am a weaver of the ways and a guardian to her mysteries. I come to you as maiden, as mother, and crone. I am the oracle uttering words of the divine. I am the alchemist with her scents and potions. Always the midwife standing between the worlds. I stand at the threshold between the unknown and the known, guarding her mysteries with my life. Once I was revered, you may remember. I walked the lands freely. I blessed the animals and the herds thrived. I blessed the crops and there was plenty. I blessed the soldiers as they went off to war. And I loved them when they returned. But after they raped me, after they destroyed my temple, after the goddess's words were forbidden from my lips, the herds began to get sickly. You know the story. The crops began to fail. The springs began to dry up. And I was blamed and shamed for the chaos that had followed. I was punished. I was exiled. I was tortured. I was burned at the stake. Until now, I lie in the earth, the deep and silent dark earth, forgotten. 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 Did not die, for I am the goddess and she is eternal. I live in you. I am within every single one of you. And I am awakening and I am rising up from the underworld. Have you seen me? Do you feel me? I am here. Picking up her chalice. I am here singing her praises once again, dancing in the cycle of life once again, uttering her prayers. I am here beating her drum and dancing the cycle of life. I am her holy chalice. And I am here making the world sacred once again. Making the world sacred once again. Making your world sacred once again. I am priestess and I serve.
She makes me cry every time. So she enacted the I poem that I wrote on the priestess card. So those were the words I'd written, and each one enacted that.
Wow, that is so, so very powerful. Wow, thank you for sharing that with us. And I know that our listeners will find very deep sacred medicine in what you just shared there. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does tell her story, you know, that their priestesses were once some of the most revered women in the ancient world, and they presided over everything, the blessing of the crops and the marriages and the deaths and the births and all of that. And there was a certain order to the natural world that they preserved and led the people to honor. And when the priestesses were knocked down and when the temples were destroyed and when literally the goddess's name was forbidden to be spoken, you could die for that at certain times. Mm. There was a chaos that followed. The order of things had been upset. And then, you know, women were often blamed for that.
That's right. But
as you know, the goddess is eternal and she is rising and she is coming back.
She certainly is. Absolutely. Mm. Well, Anadia, I'm wondering, would you like to pull a card for our listeners from the deck as well?
Sure. Do you have a question? Or we have Women's History Month going on right now. Mm. So let's see. The Empress popped out.
There we go.
And so here is the Empress. Mm-hmm. And should I read the I part? Would you like that? Or the she, which is information about her?
The I part felt so very powerful. Why don't we continue with that?
Sure. I am the Empress. I am a sovereign queen with boundless creativity. I build and rule my empire with love. I am the ripeness of a fertile idea serving an unmet human need, multiplying effects beyond myself for the benefit of the many. I am a vehicle for life to prosper. I am a visionary who implements with success. I am a mother giving birth to multitudes. I am a benefactress bequeathing to others. I am a creatrix generating what has never been. I am a stateswoman guiding people to a better life. I may have vast power and wealth. You may see me smiling on my throne, but I represent the work of many, their hands and voices working together as one. I am the Empress. I represent the power within you to become more than you can possibly imagine. Trust in me to rise into your greatness. Your key to success lies in service. I am the Empress. I preside.
Mm.
And in the she section, I talk about something that I had discovered when I researched her, that in the late 1800s, two women, Queen Victoria of the British Empire, which was very large at the time, and Empress Cixi of China, two women ruled for 50 years at the same time, and they ruled over more than half the population of the earth. Wow. For 50 years. And we think of that as a time of patriarchy, you know, when women didn't have it. But here's two women ruling more than half the world because the Chinese Empire was so big and the British Empire was so big. And Queen Victoria did it and had 8 children while she was doing it.
And it just doesn't get talked about in that way ever in the history books. Or never.
And Empress Cixi began life as a foot-bound concubine.
Oh, wow.
And she was the one that put an end to foot binding. Mm. And an end to this horrible practice they had in China of death by a thousand cuts, which was a kind of torture. She banished that. So she made a lot of changes. She brought China into the modern world, gave it a currency that could be globally traded, got the railroads going, instituted electricity. She did a lot of things. And so did Queen Victoria at that time. So we don't know these things. This is why Women's History Month is so important. And I have lots of historical details like that in the deck.
Beautiful. That sounds absolutely amazing. So if our listeners wanted to get their hands on this deck as well, where would they go, Anadia?
To SheRisesMovement.com. And the reason it's that is because I want to turn this into a movement, where the circles that I've been conducting, where people, you know, get empowered by reading the cards, I teach people how to conduct those and create a She Rises leadership. And then for visionaries that want to take it to the stage and do public events, a She Rises visionary circle. And so I'm doing trainings for women to propagate this and hoping that it just goes viral because something powerful happens when people read the cards. So SheRisesMovement.com is where you can find out all about the vision and also order your cards. And it is a little bit expensive to get them to Europe, but you can also order them digitally with a free app called Deckable, and then you can have it on your phone.
That sounds amazing. Thank you so much for making it so easy for us to access it here in Europe as well. That's great. Beautiful. Well, Anujaya, is there anything else that's really being called to be shared by you right now that really is important to express?
Well, one of the books that I wrote years ago was called The Global Heart Awakens, and it's my book on evolution, social evolution and social change. And I argue that we are moving from an organizing principle based on the love of power, which is a top-down, you know, somebody on top tells everybody else what to do and they tell people below them what to do. And we've been organized by that for about 5,000 years to an organizing principle based on the power of love. So we're moving from the love of power to the power of love. It's a huge, 5,000 years is a long time to be in an era. So it's a huge change. And part of, you know, the an era of love is, you know, cooperation and collaboration and compassion and inclusion and diversity and, you know, peer-to-peer networking and cutting out the middleman and the boss and having people directly work together. But another part of it is partnership and a balance between the masculine and the feminine. And so I go through history where we had the divine feminine, but we didn't have much masculine. Then the masculine overthrew the divine feminine and established itself as the, you know, ruling order. And now the divine feminine is coming back to work in partnership with the masculine because we're giving birth to a new world. And we know it's women that give birth, but they give birth in partnership. And so, you know, the divine masculine, divine feminine working together creates the divine child. And the divine child always has powers beyond the mother and father. And I think, as I wrote that, what is the divine child? The divine child is the future that we're creating together. And it will have things that the past couldn't even dream of. But the rise of the divine feminine is an essential piece of that because we can't be in the heart without partnership and without balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely perfect words to wrap up our interview with and really to pave the way for the new earth, to pave the way for this collective wisdom and collective co-creation that is really starting to happen more and more on our planet and beyond probably as well.
And thanks to people like you doing podcasts on this subject and bringing it out to people that need to hear these words.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anujaya, for coming onto the show and for all that you do and for all that you are. Really, really grateful for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, everybody, just for a moment, let's focus our intention and our awareness on this beautiful, powerful energy that's been generated during this interview. And imagine sending this energy to everybody and everything on our planet to remember that we are all truly one. And that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power, the more quickly our planet will also ascend and heal. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening.